The Immortal Man. Chapter 191. Chance Layton was trembling with fear as he stared at Jared. Jared. Stay back. Don't come any closer. You've incapacitated so many members of the Crimson Dragon Gang. They'll definitely come for you. Despite being in such a dire situation himself, Layton shamelessly threatened Jared. Do you think I'm scared of the Crimson Dragon Gang? Jared then walked toward Layton and smiled. I'm giving you another chance. Go ahead and call the Crimson Dragon Gang for backup. But make sure you ask for fighters who are more capable this time around. Layton looked at Jared with his doubtful eyes and gradually took out his phone. After seeing that Jared didn't attempt to stop him, Layton made a phone call to Felix. Mr. Scott, I didn't expect it to be done so soon. Are you calling to make your final payment? Felix asked excitedly. Mr. Lawson, your men are all incapacitated. They were all so useless. Layton was frustrated by the fact that 30 of them couldn't even handle Jared. Felix rose to his feet immediately and shouted in anger, "What did you say? My men are incapacitated." Yes, indeed. They're all howling in pain as we speak. Half of them lost their arms, while the other half won't ever walk again for the rest of their lives. Have a listen if you don't believe me. Layton then faced his phone toward the defeated men from the Crimson Dragon Gang. Felix was livid when he heard his men crying in pain. F**ck. Which idiot had the balls to cross the Crimson Dragon Gang? Give me your location now. I'll head over straight away. Layton hung up the phone after giving his location to Felix. He then smiled smugly at Jared and said, "You're doomed. You've angered the Crimson Dragon Gang, and Mr. Lawson will be here soon. Stay here if you dare. I'll see if you can still act tough later. Since I said I'd give you another chance, I'll definitely keep my words. I'll wait for him." Jared grinned. With no intention to flee, Jared then found a spot and sat down comfortably. When Layton saw how relaxed Jared was, his eyes glittered. "Once Mr. Lawson gets here, you're dead." A few cars appeared after around 10 minutes. It was Felix along with his subordinates. "Ha ha ha. Mr. Lawson is here. You're dead, Jared." Layton let out a hearty laugh as soon as he saw Felix's arrival. Then, he rushed to greet him. After getting out of the car, Felix was furious when he saw his subordinates all over the ground as they howled in pain. Who dared to lay their hands on my subordinates? I'm going to kill him now. Felix was so loud that he could be heard from afar. His voice was full of murderous intent. Even Layton was shell-shocked. That would be me. Jared stood up and walked toward Felix. After having a closer look at who he was dealing with, Felix froze on the spot. He was so terrified that all his anger turned into silence. "Mr. Lawson, this is the fellow that incapacitated your subordinates. You ought to finish him now." Layton was almost jumping in excitement when he told Felix who was the culprit. To his surprise, Felix walked hastily toward Jared and said respectfully, "It's you, Mr. Chance. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was you." When Layton saw how apologetic and respectful Felix was toward Jared, he was so stupefied that his eyes almost popped out. Mr. Lawson, what are you doing? Why are you apologizing to him? He's just an ex-convict. You don't have to be afraid of him. Layton was puzzled. Shut up. Felix abruptly turned toward Layton and gave him a tight slap across his face. Chapter 192. Pointers. Then, Felix turned back toward Jared and said, Mr. Chance, if I knew it was you who Layton was having a problem with, I'd have never accepted his money. Please be magnanimous and spare me some mercy, Mr. Chance. Before Jared could open his mouth, Layton went mad and roared, What the hell is happening? You guys are the Crimson Dragon Gang. Why in the world would you be afraid of a random ex-convict? Yet, you dare to proclaim yourselves as the fiercest gang in Horrington. Layton was perplexed by what was happening before his eyes. What is about Jared that's so scary? So what if he can fight well? The Crimson Dragon Gang has hundreds of fighters. Why would it matter how good of a fighter Jared is? It's not like he can defeat hundreds of people at once. What are you babbling about? The Crimson Dragon Gang doesn't need to take pointers from you. If you don't shut up now, I'll kill you. Felix turned and gave Layton a long cold stare. The latter immediately went silent when he saw Felix's devilish eyes. Out of a sudden, a huge crowd dressed in black was seen rushing toward them. There were hundreds of them, and they were all armed. The crowd was so big that Layton and the others could feel the ground shaking below them. Felix was flabbergasted when he saw the crowd. Layton was swamped by puzzlement once again. No one had an idea who were those people. But it didn't take long for them to figure out because the crowd was getting ever closer. They soon saw Tommy leading the charge. Instantly, they knew that the crowd behind him was from the Templar Regiment. Felix's expression grew even more distorted when he saw Tommy. Layton, on the other hand, was just speechless as he watched Tommy and the others run past him. Protect Mr. Chance. Don't let anyone leave. Tommy commanded angrily. Yes, the members of the Templar Regiment responded all at once. Then, they formed a big circle and blocked off all the exits. Are you all right, Mr. Chance? Tommy anxiously asked when he made his way toward Jared. What do you think? Of course I'm all right. Jared flashed a faint smile. Evidently, Layton's day was just full of surprises that he couldn't comprehend. Tommy brought all these people here to protect Jared? And why is he being so respectful toward him? Just now, the Crimson Dragon Gang had practically just bowed before Jared. Now the Templar Regiment? These are the two fiercest gangs in Horrington. What is going on? Felix, did your guys from the Crimson Dragon Gang ambush Mr. Chance? I'm going to kill all of you right now. Tommy was livid. Although he felt uneasy being spoken to in such a degrading manner, Felix knew it was not the right time to retaliate. Since their gang leader, Stephen, was still away, he had no choice but to swallow his pride. This is just a misunderstanding. This is all Layton's doing, Felix explained hastily. The moment Tommy heard what Felix said, he turned his furious gaze toward Layton. Layton almost peed his pants when he saw Tommy looking at him. Tommy bolted toward Layton and slapped him across his face. If you touch Mr. Chance again, not only will I kill you, but I'll bury your whole Scott family as well." Tommy's words were bold and true. The Templar regiment definitely had the ability to destroy the Scott family entirely. "Tommy Lewis, the Scott family had helped you before. How dare you bring these people here to have a go at me? How dare you hit me?" Leighton went berserk. "Yes, that's exactly the reason why you've only received a slap. Otherwise, you'd be dead already." Tommy glared at him coldly. Leighton was so scared that he didn't dare to look at Tommy anymore. At the same time, he was still wondering why these gangs were so afraid of Jared. "Mr. Chance." Suddenly, a male voice was heard coming from nearby. Walter had brought Luca along with him as they dashed toward Jared. Upon seeing that Jared was unharmed, Walter let out a long sigh of relief. "I heard that the Crimson Dragon gang was coming at you, Mr. Chance. I rushed here as fast as I could. Luckily you're all right, Mr. Chance." Chapter 193. Paired. Shortly after Walter's arrival, William and Josephine arrived at the scene. Josephine was worried sick that Jared might have been hurt. She hurried toward him and checked his body for injuries. Upon seeing both the famous and the infamous individual's arrivals, Felix felt utterly helpless. In his mind, he was blaming Leighton for putting him in that tough spot. Once more, Leighton was bewildered. Since Tommy and Felix belong to the underworld, maybe they paid Jared respect because he's a renowned fighter. But why Walter as well? He was a government official. Hence, he's the total opposite of what Tommy and Felix are. Even though he's retired, he's still a highly regarded individual in Horrington. Otherwise, all the rich and famous wouldn't have attended every event he has held. So why is he here for Jared? What is going on here? Wasn't Jared dumped by Josephine? He has even moved out of Dragon Bay and became a salesperson. Why is Josephine so worried about him still? Sandy curiously blurted while hiding behind Leighton, stunned. Upon hearing that, anger overwhelmed Josephine as she walked toward Sandy and gave the latter a tight slap across her face. Considering the events happening around them, neither Sandy nor Leighton dared to retaliate against Josephine. UB*TCH. Luckily you've left Jared. Otherwise, you'd only bring shame onto him. It seems like God is fair after all by pairing you two scums together. Josephine glared at Sandy with disdain. Although both Leighton and Sandy felt extremely humiliated, they both kept mum. "Mr. Chance, what should we do about these two?" Tommy asked while pointing at Leighton and Sandy. Both their legs wobbled in fear when they heard Tommy's question. They knew that Jared could have them killed just by giving an order. "Mr. Chance, I beg for your mercy. Please spare my son." Before Jared could give Tommy an answer, Yoel rushed over and dropped to his knees to beg. The Scott family was indeed powerful. But faced with all the important figures in Horrington at once, Yoel had no choice but to submit. After all, if any of them wished to run the Scott family down, they could. Besides Leighton's life, the Scott family's empire could be wiped out entirely. "Dad? What are you doing?" Leighton was dumbfounded when he saw his father kneeling before Jared, especially with everyone watching. Ultimately, the Scott family was still a prominent family in Horrington. Hence, it was a shocking scene to have the patriarch, Yoel, kneeling before a young man such as Jared. Come and beg for mercy as well. Yoel pulled Leighton aggressively before slapping him across his face. Behind them, Sandy was standing still with her jaws opened. She couldn't believe what she was witnessing. Hey, SL*T. This is your fault. Look what you've brought upon my son. Kneel down, now. Yoel got up abruptly before bringing Sandy to her knees by kicking her violently. Jared grinned as he watched the three of them beg for mercy. It's time to go. Jared stood up and left. Tommy and Walter, along with all the people they brought, followed behind. Embarrassed, Felix did the same. He left with all of his incapacitated subordinates. Still, with both their knees glued to the ground, Leighton, Yoel, and Sandy remained. Chapter 194. Never too late. Why? Why are they so afraid of Jared? Leighton shouted in rage. He's just an ex-convict. Why are they all fawning over him? Slap. Leighton shut his mouth instantly upon receiving another slap from Yoel. Listen to me. From today onward, steer clear of Jared. Pay him the respect he deserves. You're not in the position to go against him now. No matter how much you hate him, just swallow your pride in the meantime. Besides, it's never too late to seek revenge. However, now is just not the right time. You'll only be inviting trouble if you agitate him again, Yoel advised Leighton assertively while standing up. A cold glint flashed across Leighton's eyes as he nodded. Although I don't have the capability now, I'll come back to you in the future. Indeed, the Scott family was no match for any one of the parties that came for Jared. If Leighton were to strike back, those parties might even link up and destroy the Scott family for good. Yoel let out a long sigh of relief after seeing Leighton acknowledging the advice given. He then tapped on Leighton's shoulder and said, "Let's go. I hope you can learn from this." Lay. Sandy grabbed onto Leighton's legs when she saw him leaving her behind. Leighton was all that she had left. After all, she had betrayed Jared for him. She'd have no one to rely upon besides Leighton. Leighton turned and looked at Sandy. He couldn't bear to leave her. Get lost. Yoel kicked Sandy to the side and scolded, "UB*TCH. I knew you were a jinx the moment I laid eyes on you." Yoel had never been fond of Sandy because they were too far apart in terms of social status. He had no choice but to give his blessings when Leighton was adamant about marrying her. But the incident that just happened gave Yoel a solid reason to object to their relationship. Yoel and Leighton left Sandy sobbing convulsively. Meanwhile, Josephine was giving Jared a ride back home. Jared then asked Josephine curiously, "How did you all know that the Crimson Dragon gang was coming at me? I found out about it when I received a call from Mr. and Mrs. Chance. Then, I got my dad to inform Tommy and Mr. Grange," Josephine explained. "My parents called." Jared was shocked for a moment. But it didn't take long for him to realize that it was Maria who told his parents about the trouble he was facing. Mom and Dad must have contacted Josephine right away because they knew she would have contacts for such situations. Josephine left after sending Jared home. She didn't accompany him further due to the misunderstandings between her and his parents. After Jared had gotten out of the car, he walked toward his house. But suddenly, he spotted Hilda lurking behind a towering tree. She was looking right back at him. Hilda intended to run away the moment she realized Jared had spotted her. Unfortunately, she was stopped in her tracks by Jared. "Hilda, what are you doing here so late at night?" Jared asked with a puzzled tone. "I was only taking a stroll after dinner. You ought to get back home now. Your parents are worried sick." Hilda then left in a rush. "What's going on with her?" Jared shook his head and headed home. In the house, Hannah was sobbing while Gary was smoking stressfully. Franklin, Maria, and Chloe were also present. Chloe was constantly comforting Hannah. "Hannah, don't worry. Jared is going to be fine. He might even be home soon." Despite her own words, Chloe had a worried expression on her as well. Chapter 195. Unity. "Mom, Dad, I'm home," Jared yelled out right after Chloe finished her sentence. Everyone stood up and rushed over to the entrance to welcome Jared. Jared was startled when he saw so many people at his home. "Jared, are you okay?" Hannah kept running her hands through Jared to find out if he was hurt. "Mom, I'm fine. I'm just hungry. I haven't had my dinner." Jared smiled. "I'm glad you're fine. I'll go prepare dinner for you," Hannah exclaimed with a bright smile on her face. "I'll accompany you, Hannah." Chloe helped Hannah to the kitchen. "Hi, Mr. Saunders," Jared greeted when he saw Franklin. "Are you really all right?" Franklin was sizing Jared up. "I realized something was wrong when Maria came back with the news. I knew the Porsche belonged to Layton. And since you guys aren't on good terms, surely he was going to find trouble with you. But too bad, all my contacts didn't dare to go up against the Scott family. I had no choice but to sit and wait. I'm fine, Mr. Saunders. Thanks for your concern." A grateful smile flashed across Jared's face when he saw how much Franklin cared about him. "That's good. It's getting late now. We shall make a move." Franklin and Maria left shortly after. Although Maria didn't say a word throughout, Jared saw a hint of relief in her eyes now that he got back unharmed. He went to bed after dinner, and Chloe headed home after hanging out for a bit. The next day, Jared went to Dragon Bay for his training. He didn't improve much despite being there the whole day. Well, it's still better than nothing. On Monday morning, Jared arrived at the sales department. However, he sensed an unusual vibe in the air. Mr. Jennings would usually organize a corporate meeting every Monday. "What's going on? Why haven't we heard from him?" "Exactly. I've been here for 3 years now. This is the first time this has happened. What's going on? Has Mr. Jennings fallen sick?" Everyone in the sales department was whispering among themselves. "That's enough. Stop speculating. Once Zane gets here, I'm sure he'll tell us what's going on," Maria said to the others. Not long after that, Zane arrived with a document in his hands. "Mr. Carlson, what happened to Mr. Jennings?" Yeah, I don't think I've seen him coming to work today. Have you seen him? I heard he left early last Friday. Is that true? Everyone directed their questions toward Zane. Mr. Jennings was fired and has left the company, Zane said in despair. He was devastated because he had already invested so much time and effort to butter Xavier up. He even had eyes on being promoted to the managerial post in the procurement department. But since Xavier had gone, so did his hopes and dreams. What? Why? Then who will be our general manager? This is too sudden. There wasn't any sign nor warning. Exactly. Now that Mr. Jennings is gone, we'd have to cope with someone new. Surely our next general manager is going to be harsh on us. We're doomed. Everyone started discussing among themselves. Shut your mouths. Zane roared. He was already in a bad mood upon receiving the news. The endless discussions had only irritated him even more. Everyone went silent and stared at Zane. Regardless of who is going to be our new general manager, every one of us in the sales department should stick together. Unity is strength. Zane was worried that the newly appointed general manager was going to go hard on him. Hence, he took the opportunity to unite his staff and gain support from them. Yes. We'll follow Mr. Carlson's instructions. I'll go wherever you point toward, Mr. Carlson. Don't worry, Mr. Carlson. You have our support. Everyone in the sales department renounced their allegiance to Zane. Chapter 196. Claptrap. Unlike the others, Jared snorted in response. Zane was furious at his reaction. What's with you, Jared? Zane asked with an irritated tone. Oh, nothing. I'm just amazed at how a person with your puny departmental managerial post would dare to form cliques in the company. Contempt was written all over Jared's face. Okay, you're right. I'm only a departmental manager. But too bad for you, I'm still your superior. Now, I'd like to announce that you're fired. Zane let out a cold smile. Xavier was the one who wanted to keep you here only to humiliate you. But now that he's gone, I have no reason to keep you around anymore. You have no rights to fire me, Jared answered flatly. I have the absolute right. I'm your superior. Whatever I say in the sales department is final. No one can stop me from firing you. Don't you have a mansion already? What are you still doing here? Experiencing life? Leave now. Zane thundered. I must get rid of you. You're like a ticking time bomb. All you do is disrupt my department. Upon hearing that, Maria jumped to Jared's defense. Zane, Jared has just secured a contract with Cosmic Chemical. Must you? Shut up. Zane immediately cut Maria off. Are you into him? Why are you defending him? Because of him, you bailed on the dinner I'd organized with all my heart. We didn't even get to discuss our marriage. You're into him, aren't you? Zane's words had put Maria on the spot, and awkwardness overwhelmed her. What nonsense are you on about? That day, Jared was in trouble. All I did was inform his parents about it. Why would you think otherwise? Maria explained hastily. Cut the crap. No one can stop me from firing him today. Zane's eyes widened as he glared fiercely at Jared. Jared then came to a realization. Oh. So the reason you're in such a terrible mood today is that Maria bailed on the dinner for me? Everyone in the sales department stood quietly. No one was willing to defend Jared, not even Troy. Lydia was gloating within. Not because Jared was getting fired, but she was glad to see Zane and Maria getting into a fight. If they break up, I can finally get together with Zane. Indeed, Zane had cheated on Maria with Lydia multiple times. Throughout the affair, Lydia was always the initiator. She had even become Maria's best friend just so that she could spend more time with Zane. Ultimately, Lydia was over the moon about the damaged relationship between Zane and Maria. Mr. Carlson, why would you? Hilda tried to defend Jared. Shut your mouth. If you wish to quit, then get lost as well. Zane cut Hilda off in anger. With an emotionless gaze, Jared said, "You have no right to fire me. If someone were to get fired today, I have a feeling that person is you." "What are you talking about?" Zane burst into laughter. "Jared, stop being so full of yourself. I'm the head of the department. Unfortunately for you, that means I'm your superior. I can fire whoever I wish. Who's going to fire me?" "You. Come on, know your place." "I do know my place. It's you who can't seem to figure out where you stand. Soon you'll find out which one of us is getting the boot." Jared then went back and sat down at his desk. Chapter 197. Promoting from within. Upon seeing Jared sitting down at his desk, Zane went berserk. "Hey, Jared. How shameless can you be? What are you still doing here? I've never seen such a shameless person." "You've been fired, Jared. Leave." Lydia mocked while laughing sinisterly. "Exactly. Just leave. Don't be such a bad vibe in the sales department. Are you worried that you can't find another job? Why are you refusing to leave?" "I've never seen such a shameless person who refuses to leave even after getting fired." Everyone in the sales department mocked Jared while fawning over Zane. "Don't worry. I'm not staying in the sales department." Jared gathered his belongings and headed out. "Jared, wait up." Hilda chased after him. Although she had been angry at Jared, she couldn't bear to see him leave. "Jared, if you're leaving, I'm leaving too. It's such a lousy company, anyway. Don't be rash." "I'm not leaving the company entirely. I'm just leaving the sales department." "You should stay. It's not a lousy company. It's just Zane being a pain in the asterisk SS. Jared smiled. "Oh? So you're just going to work in another department?" Hilda was stumped. "Well, you can say that." Jared nodded. Knowing that Jared was still going to be around, Hilda didn't say another word. "Jared, do you need my help to find a new job?" Maria approached him and asked. "Thanks, but that won't be necessary." Jared left after that. Zane let out a long sigh of relief upon seeing Jared gone. "I've wanted you gone for a long time now. You've always been against me in every single thing. Now, no one is going to stand against me. Get back to work, Everyone, stop discussing the issue surrounding the general manager post. Whoever the headquarters sends here, we'll be all right as long as we stand united. Zane told the rest after Jared left. But not long after everyone had gotten back to their desks, the secretary of the general manager arrived at the sales department. Mr. Carlson, Ms. Sullivan is here. She wants everyone in the conference room. She has an announcement to make, the secretary said. Ms. Lane, is the announcement regarding the appointment of our new general manager? Zane asked with a smile. Should be. She nodded. Do you know who has Ms. Sullivan brought along for the announcement? Is the person a man or a woman, Ms. Lane? Zane was eager to find out more information about his future superior. Ms. Sullivan came alone. Amelia responded. Ms. Sullivan didn't bring anyone. Zane paused for a moment and asked, is Ms. Sullivan not going to appoint someone from the headquarters? No. Ms. Sullivan is promoting from within. Go and gather your staff, Mr. Carlson. Head over to the conference room as soon as possible. Amelia then left right after she spoke. Zane was stunned. He furrowed his brows as he walked into the office. Then, he announced to the others, "Drop whatever you're doing. We need to go to the conference room. Mr. Carlson, is this regarding the appointment of our new general manager?" one of the staff asked. "Yes. Ms. Sullivan is here for that." Zane nodded. "Mr. Carlson, who is it? Is the person a man or a woman?" Lydia asked anxiously. "I don't know, but the person is not from the headquarters. I heard it's a promotion from within," Zane answered with a puzzled tone. Upon hearing that, everyone was shocked. Discussions among themselves followed. Who else in the company is qualified to hold the general manager position? I think Mr. Carlson is qualified. Our department has just secured a contract with Cosmic Chemical. The headquarters must have known as well. I also think that Mr. Carlson is the right person for the job. A general manager needs to know our products inside out. Who else knows the best, if not the manager of the sales department? Mr. Carlson, you mustn't forget about us once you're made a general manager. Everyone started fawning over Zane as if he had already been appointed the position. Chapter 198. Busybody. After having his boots licked, Zane smiled happily and said, "Once I'm appointed, I'll make sure the sales department gets treated even better." He then waved to gesture appreciation. "Mr. Carlson, you're the best. You're awesome, Mr. Carlson. I'm sure the position is all yours. Once Mr. Carlson becomes our general manager, our departmental manager has got to be Maria. Congratulations, Maria." Some of them had even gone to the extent to congratulate Maria. After all, they were well aware of the relationship between Zane and Maria. If Zane were to be appointed, he surely would promote Maria. Everyone started cheering for Maria. Although filled with jealousy, Lydia put on her fake smile and congratulated her as well. "All right, let's get to the conference room. Appointments aren't even made yet," Zane urged. Zane and the rest then moved toward the conference room. When they walked into the room, they saw Jared wiping one of the chairs with a napkin. After he was done cleaning the seat, he sat on it. Jared. Zane was startled when he saw Jared in there. What are you doing here? Who let you in? I thought I'd already asked you to leave. This is neither the sales department nor your house. Why do you care so much? Jared grinned. Do you have any idea where you are right now, Jared? Besides, do you know who that seat is reserved for? You're asking for trouble. Lydia thundered when she saw Jared sitting on the seat reserved for the chairman. Jared, what are you doing here? Have you been transferred to the cleaning department? Hilda was puzzled. She thought Jared had become a cleaner because she saw him wiping the seat. Jared, that's where the chairman sits. Not even a general manager is qualified to sit there. Get up, Maria said. With her eyes, she then hinted at Jared to leave. She was worried that if Jared was seen by the higher UPS, he could be chased away for good. Why should I get up? This is my seat, Jared said innocently. Ha ha. Jared, stop fooling yourself. If Miss Sullivan sees this, you're dead. Zane burst into laughter. Mr. Carlson, you've just fired him. I'm sure the HR department doesn't know that yet. Technically, he's still a worker in the sales department. If the chairman sees this, wouldn't you be in trouble as well? One of the staff reminded Zane. At that instant, Zane started panicking. That's true. Although I've already fired him, the HR department isn't notified yet. If Jared finds trouble here, the sales department will face the music instead. Zane's expression was distorted. He then stared at Jared with his widened eyes and said, "Get out of here now, Jared. You don't belong here. You're angry over the fact that I have fired you, and you're just here to humiliate the sales department, am I right?" Everyone then started criticizing Jared and heaping scorn on him. They didn't want to get penalized for his mistakes. Get lost, Jared. Don't drag us down with you. I've never thought you're such a vengeful person. Let us all chase him out. If he insists on staying, we shall physically throw him out. Everyone from the sales department was making a scene in the conference room. Unperturbed, Jared sat firmly on his chair. Chapter 199. Losing his mind. Seeing as how Jared had no intention to budge, Zane's anger spiked. Jared, if you still refuse to leave, don't blame me for taking action. If you have the guts to do that, be my guest, Jared scoffed. That was all it took to push Zane over the edge as he turned to face his staff at the sales department. I want all of you to throw Jared out right now. He's nothing but a scoundrel. With that, everyone advanced toward Jared, determined to kick him out of the room. All of a sudden, Maria shouted, "Stop! Stop it right now!" Even Hilda tried her best to stop the advancing horde from laying a finger on Jared. Zane's face instantly contorted into a scowl. "Maria, what are you doing?" Zane, let me persuade Jared to leave. If Miss Sullivan sees us using force, we'll all be in hot soup. As annoyed as he was, Zane knew Maria had a point. She's right. If we fought and thrashed the conference room, Miss Sullivan's so going to shell us. Eventually, Zane gave a reluctant nod. Fine. Hurry up and get him out of here. Otherwise, I'll throw him out the window. Maria met Jared's gaze with a look of helplessness giving way to exasperation. I think you should leave now, Jared, she pleaded. Save yourself the embarrassment and humiliation. If Miss Sullivan sees you sitting here, she'll get security to evict you. No, she won't. Jared shook his head. You've met Miss Sullivan, haven't you? Maria retorted, incensed by Jared's stubbornness. Trust me when I say it's best not to piss her off. I'm telling you this for your own good, whether you believe it or not. Jared, I think you should leave. There's no point sitting here, Hilda chimed in. To their surprise, Jared curled his lips into a smile. It's not that I don't want to leave. If I do, there won't be anyone chairing this meeting, and you'll be the ones facing the music. Is that what you want? You're f**king shameless, Jared. Who the hell do you think you are? We are capable of holding this meeting without you, so stop being this cocky. Lydia hollered, clearly sickened by Jared's arrogance. Everyone else was just as put off as they stared at Jared with total disdain. After all, it wasn't often that they met someone as thick-skinned and audacious as he was. Naturally, Zane wasn't about to let it slide either. Jared, do you seriously have no shame at all? I've never seen anyone like you who could go on spouting such bald-faced lies. Jared, let me ask you again, Maria snapped. Are you leaving or not? Hilda could feel her anxiousness rising as she tugged at Jared's sleeve. Come on, Jared. Let's just go. Just then, the conference room door swung open, and Josephine walked in with her senior executives in tow. Upon seeing her, everyone reeled back in shock. Zane, especially, could feel the color draining from his face when he realized Jared was still sitting at the head of the table. What's all the ruckus about? Josephine asked. She had heard the commotion from outside and couldn't help but find out what was going on. Alas, the question was so abrupt that a look of despair flashed across Zane's face. Oh, how do I explain why Jared is sitting in the chairman's seat? And to make matters worse, he's from my department. What do I do now? Should I say that Jared has gone berserk? When no one replied to Josephine, Eliza shot a look at Zane. Mr. Carlson, care to tell us what's going on? Ah, Ms. Sullivan, someone from the sales department has lost his mind and is causing a disturbance in the conference room, Zane finally said, lying through his teeth. But don't worry, I'm about to send him to the hospital to get checked. Lost his mind? Josephine replied with a frown. Who has lost his mind? Chapter 200. Experience life. Who else but Jared Chance? He suddenly behaved like a madman and even plopped himself down in the chairman's seat. Zane blustered while pointing at Jared. Josephine turned toward Jared, only to see him grinning back at her. You said he has lost his mind? Gone crazy. Zane nodded. Yes. I was actually about to fire him earlier. That might have been what triggered the change in his behavior. However, as soon as the words left Zane's mouth, Josephine slapped him hard across his face. I think the one who has lost his mind is you, she bellowed before walking up to take a seat beside Jared. Shocked by the sudden turn of events, everyone in the room stared wide-eyed at Josephine and Jared. Zane, too, had frozen with horror. "Everyone, this is your new chairman, Mr. Chance," Josephine calmly announced. "I've stepped down from my position and handed the reins over to him. With his guidance and leadership, I have faith that the company will reach even greater heights." "Mr. Chance? Jared's the new chairman?" Stunned silence befell the room as everyone from the sales department couldn't believe what they had just heard. When he saw Jared still smiling at him, Zane went weak in the knees and collapsed in a heap. An ashen-faced Lydia struggled to find words, but alas, all she could feel was fear gripping her throat. Similarly, Maria was motionless as she continued to fix Jared with a blank stare. Hilda, however, suddenly felt tears welling up in her eyes. She finally realized that the woman, who had been ferrying Jared around, was none other than Josephine Sullivan. It was clear to see that she and Josephine were worlds apart, which only intensified the piercing pain in her heart. "Gosh, how silly I've been. Why did I ever think I'd be good enough to be Jared's girlfriend?" With every passing second, Hilda started to connect the dots. From Jared settling her loans to recovering the company's debts and easily clinching the deal with Cosmic Chemical, everything now made sense to her. Compared to the terrified, bug-eyed staff from the sales department, the senior executives were a lot more enthusiastic about Jared's new appointment as they erupted in applause. Troy, who had been silent this whole time, clenched his fists in frustration. "D*****. If I had continued to side with Jared and stayed on his team, I wouldn't have missed this golden opportunity. But it's all too late now. I'll never be able to get another chance like that." Josephine then gazed fondly at Jared and broke into a smile. "Jared, why don't you give a speech?" The way she looked at him spoke volumes, and it was instantly clear to everyone the kind of relationship she had with Jared. "Well, there's nothing much to say. There won't be any changes to most departments, so other than the sales department, the rest of you can get back to work," Jared replied. With that, the other staff slowly filed out of the conference room while discussing among themselves in hushed tones. "Mark my words, the sales department is going down. I know for a fact that Zane had been targeting Mr. Chance relentlessly. Well, too bad for him, because Mr. Chance is no ordinary guy. Who knew he had gone to the sales department only to gain some life experience? Ha, their department's going to crumble. I reckon a lot of them are going to get fired. Unfortunately, the sales department, including Zane and Linda, had overheard their colleagues' words. They knew just as well that they were in hot water and shivered with fear. Zane, in particular, looked like he had given up all hope. After the way he had treated Jared, his job was as good as gone." Maria couldn't help but feel a wave of conflicting emotions as she glanced at Jared. "Oh, no. What's going to happen to me? I wasn't all that nice to Jared from the start, so how is he going to treat me now?" A few moments later, most of the staff from the sales department looked pleadingly at Hilda, seeking help. After all, she was the only person on good terms with Jared, and they prayed that she'd be able to speak up for them.